We would like to thank Karen and Jacob Levis for sponsoring this morning's Lachsman, Leuli Mishbah, Sheikh's beloved parents, Eliyahu ben Abba, and Leah Bas Avram, and Karen's brother Yoshua ben Shimon Dov, and the Shana should have an Aliyah.
Amen.
Okay, so we are on to the next Mishnah, chapter 3, Mishnah 5, and what we're going to talk about today is a little bit of the tension as to how we view our relationship with Torah. I think most of us would prefer to have a laid-back, relaxing time. Torah is fun, Torah is awesome, Torah is amazing, Torah is inspirational, Torah makes you feel good. And then we're confronted with this Mishnah, which gives a little bit of a different picture. And I want us to struggle a little bit with this tension as to how we view or how we're supposed to relate with Torah, the life of Torah, and the learning of Torah. So here the Mishnah says, chapter 3, Mishnah 5, Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana Omer. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana says, Kol ha-mekabel alav ol Torah, anybody who accepts upon himself the yoke of Torah, ma'avirin mimenu ol malchus ve'ol derech eretz. We remove from that person, or it is removed from that person, the yoke of government, the yoke of kingship, and the yoke of derech eretz. What's derech eretz? So we've spoken about this for a while. It means ways of the world. Working here, it presumably doesn't mean midos, character, as it's meant in the past. So there's some level of worldly responsibility that is removed from somebody who accepts upon himself the yoke of Torah. And then on the converse of it, b'chol ha-porek mimenu ol Torah, somebody who throws off the shackles, if you will, of Torah, the burden of Torah, Nosnin alav ol malchus ve'ol derech eretz. So that person gets, is given, is presented with the burden of kingdom, kingship, rulership, we'll have to see what that means, and worldly concerns. Okay, so from the picture we get so far of the Mishnah, what's the main message? What's the main message? I started now doing this in the beginning because we get so complicated as we go on. I think it's important to keep the main message in mind even as we get nuanced and complex. Don't forget it, precisely what the Mishnah is trying to teach us. What's the big picture of the Mishnah, Rabbi Shiloni?
You have to have an oath.
Okay, so there... Right, so there has to be some level of burden in life. There has to be some level of responsibility, of hardship. And presumably, the Mishnah is telling us that it's a choice, and the smart choice, if you will, would be to accept upon the yoke of Torah, and this way you don't need the yoke of these other things that are not as meaningful, if you will. So now, what's the problem? Just gut reactions. What's the problem with this concept in the Mishnah? Okay, so number one is that we present Torah as a burden. And that's how I started off, exactly. That's not how we usually refer to Torah. We like to refer to Torah that it's nice, it's fun, it's great, it's amazing. And here it's referred to as a burden. What other problems do we have, perhaps, with this Mishnah, Yossi?
I know it's a problem, more than observation. We don't see that historically as true. Those who dedicate themselves to leaders the Abbasin was also the kind of the important... Somewhat of governmental figure also.
So, good, exactly. So just from a realistic perspective, is this factually accurate? Meaning, is this what happens? Is this the person who accepts upon himself the yoke of Torah, now all of a sudden that means that they don't have to worry about money? They don't have to worry about worldly concerns? They don't have to worry about interacting with the government? They don't have to worry about taxes? They don't have to worry about all these things? It's not really the choice that's presented in this Mishnah. It's a little bit too simple. Our world is a little bit more nuanced than that it's just an either-or proposition. If you choose Torah, then you get freedom from everything else. So we're going to have to struggle a little bit. The commentators, as we go through this, are going to have to deal with this issue. It's just practically, does this actually come true? Is this something that realistically happens in the way we assess the world? Freddie, then Laser, then Fine.
A lot of the Mishnah is in the
Right, so it doesn't necessarily say that you're not gonna have to deal with people. It doesn't say that. It's almost like the burden that comes along with people that you won't have to deal with. So I don't know if those two are separable, but yeah, fine.
Well,
Who's ma'avirin?
So then the question is, so what's going on here? Who's ma'avirin? Who is the one who is taking away these things? And that gets up to a broader question. Thank you for bringing it up now. We're going to get to it later. But the question of this Mishnah specifically, but broader in general, in Pirkei Avos, or even beyond Pirkei Avos, when we have some sort of, I don't know if you want to call it a guarantee of this, or some sort of statement about this is how the world works. So is this saying that God's going to intervene with some level of divine intervention that's going to say, okay, God is Ma'avirin, God is the one who is taking away your Ol Malchus or Ol Derech Eretz. So it's almost this supernatural intervention from God, which, you know, we believe in, we believe that happens, but is that what the Mishnah is saying, that God is going to guarantee this for you? Or is it more of a, can we understand it in more of a naturalistic sense, that maybe the community is the one who takes away these burdens from you, who protects you from these outside worldly issues because you're the one who accepts upon himself learning, and therefore it's the communal responsibility to isolate and protect these people that they can learn. So we have to see that it's not explicit within the word Ma'avirin. It doesn't tell us who the subject is, who is Ma'avirin. Okay, so these are a few of the questions that we're going to be thinking about as we read the commentator. So let's start off with an early commentator, the Rambam. The Rambam tells us a simple read of the Mishnah, of old Torah. What does that mean, the yoke of Torah? Because remember, when it says Torah, what are our options? Right? Does it mean learning Torah? Does it mean keeping Torah, keeping the mitzvos? What exactly is going on here? So the Rambam tells us straight out, he thinks old Torah means hadvekus belimud. It means learning, connecting and being totally engrossed in learning. This isn't a general statement about choosing to follow a life of Torah. It's a statement on the commitment to learning Torah. So old Torah is hadvekus belimud. So what's ol malchus? Tirchos hashilton v'shibudo. You have to deal with the government from whatever perspective that is. I think nowadays most of us can choose to deal with the government or choose not to deal with the government, you know, besides the paperwork or whatever that we have to fill out and standing online for the DMV and all that stuff. It's more of a choice that we make if we want to be politically active. I think back then it was a little bit different, right? The government could sort of just usurp you for their services. Right, they can, say that, nope, you're going to the army, or you're going to work in this organization, or you're going to work in this community, whatever. So the government could sort of force you to do it. So it's a little bit of a different perspective. But the idea here is Ol Malchus is that you would have to deal with the government. The Ol Derech Eretz, the Rambam himself, actually. Does anybody know anything about the Rambam's life, how this might play a part? What happened to the Rambam? So what was the Rambam's profession? He was a doctor. So he spent a good chunk of his life working as the doctor for the king of Egypt, right? So for the sultan of Egypt. So he had this practically in his life, that he had this old Malchus and old Derech Eretz that he had to deal with, partially because he was good at it and he felt the responsibility to do with it, but I don't know what the historians say if we read maybe the letters of the Rambam, what his mindset was. Was this something that was a burden to him that he had to do it, or was this something that he felt that he wanted to do? Again, we could analyze the letters at a certain point in the future, but it is interesting that he himself had to deal with this. Question in the second, let's just finish the Rambam. The old Derech Eretz, what's the burden of Derech Eretz, the ways of the world? So he doesn't just say it means work. What does he say it is? Tirchos hazman. Just like the regular drudgery and burdensomeness of daily living. The going to the pharmacies and the waiting on lines. And included in this, perhaps, is going to work and all that stuff, but sitting in traffic, right? All this stuff that's the tirchos hazman that really burdens us and takes us down, that is old Derech Eretz according to the Rambam. So now we have our concepts played out. You can choose an ol of dveikus to Torah, or there is this ol of kingdom, kingship, government, politics, or the burdensomeness of everyday life. It's sort of like a forced choice you can make. So what's the play here? Why? What's going on? What's the guarantee? So the Rambam explains, Yomar ki v'schar hidabko ba'ol Torah, in rewards. That's how the Rambam is learning this. For the reward that you get for learning Torah, it's not just learning. It's hidabek means to connect, to totally cling, to engross yourself in it. Yastirehu Hashem mi'olam lachim. So who is the one who is the ma'avirin? It's God. Hashem is playing the cards here, and the fact that you decide to cling to Torah, so God is going to make sure He's going to put the people in play that you're not going to have to deal with the government and the politics. And v'yakel alav tirchus hazman. Notice this is also a good language. V'yakel alav. What does v'yakel alav mean? It's going to make it easier. You can't remove that, right? The tirchus hazman are there, right? Life is sometimes burdensome. Life has things in it that take our time and we don't necessarily want to do. And we're not creating this magical world where you can, you know, wave a wand and anything you want can happen and you don't have to deal with anything. But it can be easier, right? And if you choose Torah, Hashem is going to be making it easier for you that you're not going to have to deal with these government things and the tirchus hazman. And then he quotes something about freedom. From Chazal, freedom means that you can be Osek B'Torah. You can read that on your own. If you look in source number 2, Rabbeinu Yonah says something similar. Rabbeinu Yonah says, Rabbi Nechuni ben Akana, Omer kolam akabal alav ol Torah, mavir menu ol malchus, achar she'ose toraso ikr umalachto arai. So he formulates this a little bit differently. Right, so what does it mean that I accept the yoke of heaven? According to the Rambam, the yoke of heaven, the yoke of Torah meant to being clinging to learning. Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't necessarily disagree with that, but he formulates it differently. He says that what does that mean? That you make your Torah primary and your malacha, your work, secondary. So now that doesn't mean that you don't work, according to Rabbeinu Yonah. You do work. It's just that you're choosing to make your Torah more important either with time or with how you sort of mentally prepare for the work versus Torah. Okay, we have some napkins over here.
Only water. You're putting down the value of water.
So, okay, back in business as we clean up the spill. So if you, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, if you accept yourself that you're going to focus more on learning over work, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yishmerah Mikol Devar Ra, Shlo Yitzdarach Libata Milumad HaTorah, Lo Yiten Belev HaAritz Elokeach Mefashos Lasos Melachto, Lakachas Etzev, Yinatzim Lachas HaRitzim, Lakim Ritzono La'asot. So similar to the Rambam, it's God who's playing the role here. He's going to make sure that other people aren't going to pick on you in order that you're going to have to do this job or that job. He's going to make life easier. He's going to choose that, you know, maybe your kids aren't going to get sick from school. All this stuff's going to happen. It's all in God's hands and He's going to be able to take care of it if you choose to learn Torah. Old Derech Eretz, he continues here, fourth line in source number 2. Lo yitzdarach lasos malacha harbe letzorach parnasaso, uvima'at yaspiklo lechdei chiyuso. So you're not going to have to work very hard to make money. You're going to work, again, let's make this clear, you're going to work, but God, since you choose the role and the ol of Torah, God is going to make it that the little bit of work that you do is going to pay its dividends, it's going to pay off, and you're going to make enough money in that small amount of time. But notice the words he uses here, lechdei chiyuso. So what does lechdei chiyuso mean? You're going to make enough money for survival, right? This doesn't mean that you're going to have a mansion, and this doesn't mean you're going to be able to go out to eat every day. This means you're going to have enough for you to keep going.
The key word is all.
Right. Well, so hold on, we'll get there. Kimalechas hatzadik misbareches v'nafsho smecha bechelko. And so she's putting two important components to this, where he's starting to combine, for our purposes, getting back to Chaim's question, he's starting to combine the divine element with the psychological element of how we relate to the situation. Because the malacha of a tzaddik, the work of a tzaddik, is misbareches. It means that God makes it that the work that you do is going to pay more dividends. You're going to be able to be more productive, if you will. But what's the other component here? V'nafsho smecha bechelko. you're also going to have to be happy with what you have. Right? So you don't see it as a burden, getting back to Rabbi Shalom, he just said. There's some element of perspective here that's required for this to work. It's not just that God will make... It's not that if you choose Torah, you're going to win the lottery. That's not what's going to happen. But if you choose Torah, you're going to make enough money to get by, and you're also, with the perspective, going to be able to be happy with that amount of money that you have. Okay, so the two have to go hand in hand. V'chol ha-poreach m'menu ol Torah nosten lo ol malchus. But now on the flip, if you don't accept the burden of Torah, you're going to get the burden of malchus. Shuchoshev la'asos melachto harbe im yaniach melachas ha-Torah v'ashem yisparach yefer machshavaso v'yitein b'lev ha-melach lakachto la'asos melach alo. So what does he say here? You think I'm going to choose not Torah, I'm going to choose my work, because I want to put into my 401k and I want to have enough money to retire, and I want, so I'm going to choose work. So now what's going to happen, he says, so God's going to flip that and say, you think you have time to work? The king is going to, you know, make you work on government salary. Right? He's going to usurp your skills for his own purposes, so you're not going to be able to make as much money as you want anyway. So continuing here, and kipag imayim lev melech v'yad Hashem al kol asher chafatzi yitzno. So God has the ability to intervene in people's and the king's thought processes and help make his decision making, that the divine providence is going to interact here to make you work for the king. Now the next point here, v'ol derech eret, second to last line of this source, shu node v'toreach achar michayoso v'lo yucho l'matz'ah. So you're going to be working hard in order to find enough of a living, and he says that you're not going to really find it. Because what's going to happen when you strive and you make your main purpose to get enough money, and you even get that money, you're not going to be happy. You're going to want to keep more. You're always going to be in pursuit of making wealth and more wealth and more wealth. Kenyan Shenemar. Oh, if Kasef will Yisba Kasef, somebody who loves money never is satisfied and filled with that money. Your whole life is just in pursuit of money, 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 and that itself isn't old. Notice here, God's not really playing a part in this problem. Right? So it's one thing to say that God's gonna intervene to make sure that the king chooses you to work for him. But here, God's not intervening at all. This is just basic psychology, that if your goal is ol derech eretz, to work 16-hour days in order to make money, that itself will always be an ol. That itself will always be a burden, and you'll always have to struggle with that. There's no way out of that. So the way out of it is to shift your perspective and change your priorities into what makes you happy, and sort of incorporating other values like Torah, etc., into your daily and life plan. Okay, so far we've seen the Rambam and we've seen Rabbeinu Yonah, and what we have is a basic layout of, yes, God is involved here in playing the part of making sure that if you choose Torah, we're going to take care of you. If you don't choose Torah, you're going to be burdened with other things. But we are still left with the problem, as Karen pointed out, is that it's still called an ol of Torah. It's still called a burden of Torah. Right? We don't like to think of Torah as a burden. Torah is fun. Torah comes with lox. Torah comes with cream cheese, right? It's not something that we have to really struggle with and it being a burden. So let's see source number three, the Medr Shmuel. I do have a second to pause if you had a question or a comment. You wanted to say something before?
No, I
can
just say this. When you ask people who are sitting in heaven all the time, why don't you go to more? Why? You say, do you know how hard it is to sit and learn the whole time? According to here, if you sit and learn the whole time, your priorities change. You don't eat so much.
Well, notice they didn't say learning the whole time, right?
Right. The question is if it's really possible.
To learn.
To learn and to change completely your personality, that you don't need anything. In real life, you cannot do that.
Well, so
you have a wife and children and you have to pay rent. You cannot do that.
So I think it depends on the person. It depends on the person. And you're right, there's some people where it doesn't work. There's some people it doesn't work. In a family, yeah.
Just a comment on grandma.
Yes.
When we started off, he was studying all
Right, his brother supported him, then his brother passed away, and then he had to take over the responsibility. Yeah, and he does write about that in the letters, and he writes it's actually some pretty deep and intense writing where he says that he was in a deep depression for a long time after his brother passed away, where he almost felt like there was no point to moving forward, and he got out of it eventually. But some interesting talk about that. We're probably going to get to that on Monday nights with the Hilchos Deos Shir at some point.
Yeah.
Was Torah, and that, yeah.
But then when he had to,
he stepped up. Yeah. Right. Okay. There are lots of questions, so let's do them quickly, Joyce, and then quick. What else do you want to see yoke as? Okay. Okay, so maybe all doesn't mean burden. Okay, so all, so Joyce pointing out, this could be something we'll see in the commentators eventually, is that all doesn't necessarily mean burden. All is something that you put on the yoke over an animal. It keeps them straight, keeps them subservient, if you will. But I would challenge you to ask that animal how they feel when they have a yoke on their so you're right to some extent. So you could flip it and you can say it doesn't mean something. But like at the end of the day, we have to at least go with the fact that having a yoke is not the same thing as having that, you know, freedom and relaxation, if you will. But maybe it is a mindset and a perspective. But we'll elaborate on that. We'll analyze that a little bit.
I wanted to know if children are learning, is it right to transfer the yoke to the parents when it's difficult for the parents? They're transferring the yoke of Torah.
Again, it depends.
It depends
on the family. It depends if it's the parents. Right. So I mean, I can't answer that on depending on the context, and even then, it's not necessarily my business to answer the question. But I think it depends on the family. My personal perspective is that if the parents don't want to, then they don't have to. It depends how old the kid is. You know, if they're six.
It's ability,
want, desire, possibility, and then what the kids choose. I'm gonna cut it there. Yeah. So we mentioned that.
So he must have worked all day.
He did.
Right. Maybe he came home at 1 o'clock at night and then started learning.
Right. He writes in one of his letters also that he basically doesn't have a minute to do anything. He gets home, he passes out from exhaustion, and people come in early in the with the Rambam. People come in early in the morning and ask him questions. They ask him Torah questions. They ask him to go work for the king and the sultan. And the whole thing is that he was by that point in time. He writes in the letter, was totally exhausted. Again, so that's how we brought it up before, just to point out that this for the Rambam was a real, he doesn't bring it here in the commentary, but this was a real life, struggle of how do you deal with this, of this Ol of Torah versus the Ol of Derech Eretz and the Ol of Malchus. This was live. This wasn't theoretical. Okay, good. So let's look at source number three. We're going to start talking about the concept of Ol a little bit more explicitly. So the Medrash Shmuel says, the Efshar Sha'amar Ol Torah Lefi Shetzarech Shekiblenu Be'ol. So he says straight out that the reason it says Ol is because we need to look at it as an Ol, as a burden. Ke'inyan Sha'amru Eina Torah Miskayemes Ela B'mishem Memis Atzmo Aleha. So there's a statement in Chazal that says that Torah doesn't take root. It doesn't stay... establish itself, that's probably a better word there. You have to kill yourself, obviously not literally, but you have to really invest all of your energy and all of your time, and that's not, again, a positive statement in the sense of feels good, if you will, but you have to really invest everything. Right? You take the... to give you a muscle, I guess, if you want to be a doctor and you're doing pre-med and then you're in medical school, you're probably some level of memis atzmo aleha, right? You have to put in all those hours to the point where you're exhausted and that you can't really think straight. That's a similar paradigm as being presented here in terms of how learning Torah should be. Right? So there's some sort of memis atzmo for it, yeah, some level of giving over full amount of energy and life to a Kenyan Zosa Torah Adam Kiyamos Bo'ol, as we say
this is the Torah, somebody whose Yomus Ba'ol dies in the tent, and the Chazal, it's talking about laws of Tum and Tara, but Chazal understand it, that it means that you have to kill yourself over Torah, again, not literally. The Yiddug, second line here, the fourth word, fifth word on the line, the Yiddug La'olam Amash She'inu Masik. And there's also an anxiety that goes along with this. There's concern, there's worry. Am I accomplishing enough? Am I doing enough? This is not a happy, you know, relaxed picture that we're getting. V'zeh shekasav, Yosef das Yosef mach'ov, right, Shlomo says that the more you know, the more pain you have. Kolomar misha yirtzeh Yosef das v'yatsiach b'limudo. Somebody wants to learn more and be successful. Tzarech sheYosef mach'ov lo'olam. There's pain involved with that. Amash shekasav remena, because you haven't learned enough yet. You have to keep pushing yourself. Kibiyosef do'og al chesrono v'hechrachu sheyashlimenu. And it's that worry and that anxiety that pushes you to accomplish more. You know, what balance there should be between worry, anxiety, and productivity, we'll save. We've spoken about it before, we'll save it for a different time. But for now, the main picture is that this is not a relaxed Torah learning. This is a serious, full, all, you know, burden type of picture. And then he keeps going here, he quotes the Leib Avos. The Leib Avos Kasav, Ki Hurgal Lefarish Bezeh HaMaimer. So Leib Avos explains usually as follows. Ki Biyos Shebetori Yesh Mitzvos Siflios, V'yesh mitzvos shmios, v'hashlim be'emunaso, v'hashalim be'emunaso, tzarech sheyishmor es kulon. Right, so there's two, he says there's two types of mitzvos. What are my two types of mitzvos? There's mitzvos sichlios. What are mitzvos sichlios? They make sense, right? They're logical. They're natural, if you will, that people would figure them out on their own. And then there's a different type of mitzvos, that it's shmios. And what was that? From the word shama. You have to obey them, you have to hear them, they're tradition, God gave it to us, and that's why we follow them. Would we be able to figure it out on our own? Not necessarily. So the laws of kashrus perhaps fall underneath this, right? So this isn't something that I would intellectually just figure out, but God tells it to me, so I follow it. So you have mitzvos. Now the question is, when you have a mitzvah that's a sichlios, a mitzvah that can be found or understood through logic, through thinking, through, you know, morality, whatever the case may be, why do you do that mitzvah?
Does it make sense?
So this is the debate. Do I do mitzvahs that make sense because they make sense, or do I do mitzvahs that make sense because God told me to do them? I do mitzvahs that God told me to do them that don't make sense because God told me to do them, so I do them. But the question is, when there's something that's natural, that makes sense within our reason, do I do that because God wants me to, or do I do that because it makes sense?
It's probably easier to do it.
I'm doing it because God wants me to, but not because it makes more sense, you're more likely to want to do it more readily.
Okay, so let's see how he, this is a big question, this is not a small topic, so let's see how the Leib Avos deals with it. So even the ones in the second line, even the ones vafa sichlios that the Torah commands it comes from God, and it's not lo mitzad shegozer kein asechel. It's not because our mind makes sense to us. K'mosh amar al ish imo v'aviv tiro. So to respect, to honor your parents. As shapso sai tishmar ani Hashem elokeichem. Shirotze lomar. So the juxtaposition is between honoring parents and keeping Shabbos. Shirotze lomar bein am mitzvah sichlios bein am tzua hashmayis tia mitzad shani Hashem elokeichem. The reason, according to the Leib Avos, that we do both the ones that make sense, like honoring parents, and Shabbos, which doesn't necessarily make sense. I wouldn't have known that on its own, even though there's, you know, good reason for Shabbos, and we can explain Shabbos, but at the end of the day, we wouldn't have got that, we wouldn't have figured that out on our own without the Torah. But for both, the ones that make sense and the ones that are traditional, what's the reason I do it? Sha'ani Hashem Elokeichem, because God commanded it. So this mindset is a very command-based mindset. I do things because God told me. End of story. And that's why we put these together. So these laws that, you know, we can have secular laws that make sense, similar, that parallel to Torah laws as well. So that, you know, there's punishments for somebody who steals, and Dina de Machusa.
It all makes sense. So you have secular law that has that as well. But for us... Okay, good. So here, so Lizet Omer, smack in the middle of this paragraph, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines from the top, and I think 5 lines from the bottom as well, and there's an acronym in the middle, it's Vav Lamed Zayin Aleph. Lizet Omer. So with this introduction of that we have mitzvot that make sense and mitzvot that don't make sense, and we do mitzvot that make sense because God commanded to us, just like the mitzvot that don't make sense. So now he's bringing this all introduction into our Mishnah. Lizet Omer. Shamakabal alav ol Torah b'chol ha-mitzvos va'af b'sichlios ma'virin ma'alav ol malchus v'ol derech eretz. So now he changes completely. Until now, what does it mean, ol Torah? What did it mean? What did it mean until now? For everybody else?
Learning.
He says it doesn't mean learning. The ol of Torah means the burden of accepting mitzvos for the sake of the fact that God commanded us to do them. Right? And if you accept mitzvos, meaning the Torah and all the mitzvos, even the ones that make sense to us, at that point we are ma'avir ma'alav, or God removes from you the ol malchus and ol derech eretz, the burden of the government and the burden of daily living. Ki eino shomer osam advarim lo kefi shehim datot min ha'malchut v'asrar. You're not doing it because the king wants you to do it, meaning the secular king. Wants you to do it. The human king wants you to do it. V'lo kifia yosam datot lemusio tibiot el yoshin itstava aleim b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu mipi Hashem. V'cho ha-poreach memena b'dvar mahim ol Torah lefachot nechmas tachas o malchus v'ol derech eretz v'kama mehagnusio lemi sheporek me'olav olo shal kadosh baruch hu de'lalav o malchus v'ol derech eretz. So he says, you have a choice. You can choose to do mitzvos because they make sense, or you can choose to do mitzvahs because God commanded you to do them. In, I think, a modern-day sense, we like to, at least in some communities, we like to do things, why? Because it makes sense. You think it's God commanded? Right? So why are you a nice person? Is it because God commanded it, or is it because it makes sense?
I'm working on that.
Right? Why, in theory, would somebody be a nice person, right? So I think for the most of us, we look at it as something that we want to do or that it makes sense for us to do, and we do it because it's the right thing to do. He's giving, and we can track this throughout Pirkei Avos, throughout learning of Torah and Chazal, these two tracks, right? Do we focus more on the burden, on the command, on God made me do this, or we focus on the fact that it's natural, it makes sense, it feels good for me to do it, that's why I do it. He's going on the burden route. He's saying that you should do it because God commanded it, and everything should be because God commanded it. One more line, and then I'll pause for questions again. And then he says here in the last line of the source, Od Kasav, another explanation, Kimisha Kibala Torah Im Ola. Somebody who accepts the Torah with its burden. What's its burden? Shehu paspa melech tochal. We'll see this in later on in Pirkei Avos. The prerequisites, according to that Mishnah, and according to what he's saying here, of learning Torah, or of living Torah, is that it has to be done with bread, salt. Right? Meaning minimal. Meaning you're just getting next week a bagel. That's it. There's nothing else. Just bread. Nothing on top of that. Do you really need the cream cheese? Right? Do you really need the lox? You could survive with just the bread. Right? Do you really need to be sitting on chairs? You could sit on the floor. Right? So there is this element. Oh, we've insulted Jake. No, just kidding. Right? So the idea here is that living minimally. So minimal living. Live with the least amount possible. Learn Torah with the least amount possible. And that's what it means. Don't do things so comfortably. Okay, so what we have so far is this explanation that Torah comes along with Torah, comes with it some level of, I would say a good word is sacrifice. You can't just live a life of Torah and, you know, relax and have a good time. There's some level of burden, there's some level of sacrifice.
Minimalist
living could be... You could be living, but you got to be careful. I mean, you're not just living, doing it for the sake of doing it. You're doing that for the sake of learning, for learning and living Torah. Okay, so let me see for a second. I think we're going to have to skip some stuff. What time is it? Anybody have the time?
Okay, so we still have a little bit of time. Let's see. Skip number four for now, because I think it's basically just reiterating maybe a slightly different perspective, but mostly the same perspective of what we've had until now. Let's see source number five, the Rimi Toledo. He has two very interesting insights here. The one I think will relate to, hopefully, well, but that's a problem, as we'll see. So, Lefisha Adam B'Tiv'o Ketz Tamid B'Chol Inyanav. And so somebody, everybody's just bothered. Everybody's just like disgusted. What are we bothered by? It's at all points in time. Humisafech, we flip-flop. The Eis HaKor, when it's cold, what do we say? Mi'iten HaChom. I need some heat. Uve Kayetz, Omer, Mi'iten HaKor. When it's hot, you say, no, why can't it be so, why can't it be cold? And here too, it's either, you know, it's either it's freezing or it's too hot. Vim ein lo banim, if somebody doesn't have children, Omer mi yiten li banim, who's gonna give me children? Vim rabu banim, if they have too many kids, katz behem ibn etzar gidulam, they say, I have too many kids, it's too hard for me. Right? Vim hu ra'av, if we're hungry, itavala ocha, I wanna eat. Vim itma lepit, no, when I'm full, mimachli itavala rika, I wanna throw up. Vim im hu ani, if I don't have enough money, what do I want? Mitabe osher, I want money. Vim rabu, if I have too much money, rav yagono kilo yanum v'lo yishan, because then I have to work too hard, I have too much money, I want to get rid of it. Okay. Halavai, we should have such problems. Right? Okay. Right, so, and then he keeps going with these pairings of how we flip-flop, and so, you know, when we don't have this, we want that, and then when we get that, we don't want it anymore. Right, so what's the takeaway? So what should be our perspective? And he says, different jobs, when you have this type of job, you want that, instead you want that type of job, and if you have that type of job, you want the opposite job. Right? And he goes, skip down to the same paragraph, third to last line of the paragraph, towards the end of the line, he says, Lachin. Lachin nira li, shekol inyanei, second to last line of the paragraph, shekol inyanei olam hazeh, v'tovatav nikraim ol. He says, everything in this world is a burden. Everything is a burden. Ki afilu rov atovo si al adam l'toreach l'ol. Even the good stuff, our perspective usually goes to the negatives. V'ol atorah hi ashkeda alimra torah. And the burden of Torah means to follow through and to work hard when it comes to learning Torah. So he gives a broad perspective here. And then when it comes to the ol derech eretz, it just means this world is that from our perspective, we just kvetch about everything. And then we just complain. And that's what it means. So if you learn Torah, then you're not going to kvetch. Right, so the question is why? So the question is why? So he doesn't explicitly say it as of yet. But we can either say maybe it's a divine intervention again, God may, or you could say, again, it's psychological. The point of having and learning and sitting and dedicating your life to Torah is that it changes your perspective, however hard that might be, or it should in theory change your perspective, to the point where these things, I'm someach b'chalkol, as we've seen before, I'm happy with what I have, and I don't have to kvetch about everything. Whatever, it's hot, okay, I'm happy it's hot. It's cold, I'm happy it's cold. And I don't have to kvetch. So that's his read on what all derech eretz is. And then he continues, let's hold on, because I want to cover a little more ground, then we'll pause for questions. Then he continues here, the kos of her Yisrael, uvedinhu sheyikra limud haTorah ol. So this gets back to our question. Why is learning Torah considered a burden? Lefi shehu ma'aser kaved va'amel gadol. Because it's like, it's chained, right? It's a burden. It locks you up, if you will. It's very hard. V'lachach nikras toshia. It's called toshia shemateshes kochos adam. It exhausts you, right? When you're sitting and you're trying to be cognitively aware and present and analyzing and thinking every day, all day, it's tiring. V'lo yasigeno adam kiyim b'yegias haguf. And you're not going to get it without being exhausted. This gets back to what we spoke about last week, right? Torah is, it can be exhausting. And the question is, what do you do at that time when you're exhausted? Do you go to the shir anyway or not? And some of us pushed ourselves this past week, right? And we came to the shir on Monday night, somebody told me, and then, exhausted, but I'm going to come anyway. Kimosha darshu zichron lavra, zos Torah adam kiyemos ba'ol, same drush as before. Ein ha-Torah miskemes el b'mishim memes atzmo aleha. We have to kill ourselves over Torah, and he quotes an idea from Plato, where the same idea is when it comes to philosophy, that the more you learn, it's harder, it takes time, it takes energy, it's hard to be cognitively aware at all points in time. Now flip the page. Yeah. Yeah, that could be one way of looking at it, is when we're in what psychologists now call flow. It's like you're really like in the zone. Everything else, sort of time goes slower, time stops. You're really engrossed in what you do. You don't care that much about what's going on in the rest of the world. And that's good. That's
what's all about the mind.
Right. Right. I hear you. Okay, so let's see. This is a continuation of the same source, and I think this is going to bring a bunch of the things we spoke about together to make them a little bit more clear if they haven't been until this point. So he says, Ol Malchus, second side of the page, Hu Kovid Hamas U Avodas HaMelech. It's the having to deal with too much taxes or having to go into work for the king. Ol Derech Eretz, Hibakashas HaMachia V'Amalbosh Lov No Besos. I need to have money. I need to be able to feed my kids. I need to be able to have clothes. V'Haya Omer Chacham Zeh. And this Chacham, meaning the Chunya ben Akana, said, the author of our Mishnah, Shai Ratzon Hashem Yisparach Ba'anagas Olamo, Shlo Yiskapsu Eilua Gimul Olam Al Adam Echad, Kedei Shlo Ya'avid. So he says that God's intention was that you can't have all three of these at the same time, because what would happen if you had all three of these burdens? Ol Torah, Ol Malchus, Ol Derech Eretz? You'd give up. It'd be too hard. So God's intention is that you can't have all three. That'd be too much for you. So therefore, what do you have? But you also can't have none of them. Right? So you can't just say, I don't want any burdens. Leave it. Life, as Rabbi Shoni started off by saying, you need to choose a burden. There has to be some level of burden. So we pin Old Torah against Old Malchus and Old Derech Eretz. The kevan she efshar la adam li natsa me'achem ela. Since you need to choose at least one, roi lo liver lo amuf. So choose the best one. V'mi yukabel Old Torah, natsa Old Malchus Old Derech Eretz. You're going to be saved if you choose the Torah. V'im yifrok mimenu Old Torah, yilachid bo Old Malchus Old Derech Eretz. And if you decide not to learn Torah, then you're going to be stuck with the all of everything else in life. V'zei yisva'er al gimel drachem. And here's where it's fascinating. It says you can explain this in three possible ways. How do we understand our Mishnah? So what are our three ways? Al derech ha-onesh. It's a punishment. Meaning what? Divinely guided, as we've seen in the past. It's a punishment. Number two, al derech hadas. What's al derech hadas? Through religious perspective. Or al derech ha-teva. It's natural. So you can explain it in either one of these three ways. Let's see it. Al derech ha-onesh. So number one, where I put the number one in the circle there. Kimi shesham v'shesam magamasol l'mod v'torah v'azav kol asakav. So somebody who puts all of his energy into learning and he doesn't deal with his other responsibilities. This could have a negative connotation, but I would say that, you know, for the purposes of us, you're not abandoning anybody, you're not leaving anybody starving. Let's assume that that's a given for now. But you're focusing on Torah exclusively. You're not worrying about other problems. V'sam bitchono b'shem, and you put your trust in God. Ayascharo me'et Hashem. So now you get a reward from God. Shatzilenim ola malchus. So God's going to protect you from dealing with the king. Shistam lo pranasasu b'li amel. You're going to be able to, notice what he says, you're not going to have money. You're going to have money. You're just not going to have to work so hard for it. All right? But if you put all your energy into trying to get everything in this world, and you leave learning, there's a punishment from God. He's going to make sure that you got to put in your time and your work in paying your taxes and all the stuff that you need to do on a daily basis. That's number one. It's a punishment from God or a reward from God. Number two, al derech hadas, where it's circled by the two. Yaduahu, Shahatorat Sibsa Shulakas Masin Barnonos Vinyana Ir Vitulasa Mitamide Chachamim. So within the Torah system,
you know, we try to give precedence to people who learn. Amar Mar, Af Choveva Mim Kok Dosha Biyadecha, Amar Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe says, Ribono Shel Olam, Shnei Olim Ata Matil Abanecha, Otor V'Malchus, Amar Lo, Kol Kedosha Biyadcha, V'Ol Derech Eretz, Shakol Chayavim L'Haktim Schoros L'Kol Schora Lassos Melachtos. So he's basically putting the second option here, is that how is this person going to be able to avoid all of these burdens? What's the option? It's not necessarily a reward, but it's in the system that we as a community, as a Torah community, should be honoring people and supporting people who dedicate their times to learning Torah. So that's the second, so that's a more natural explanation than just a divine reward and punishment, but it's within the religious system, if you will. And then number three, where it's circled again, Al Derech HaTeva, somebody who works night and day in learning, so the burden of kingdom will take, be taken away from him. They're going to see that you don't actually care about money, right? I think what he's saying, if you see, or the king has to choose somebody. Who's he going to choose? The guy who has skills in collecting money and, you know, has a PhD in economics? Or is he going to choose the guy who sits in his study all day and learns Torah? The PhD in economics, right? So this isn't like some divine intervention. This is just natural. If you don't have the skills, they're not going to choose you. So choose Torah and they'll leave you alone because they don't want you, right? Now, so what about Ol Derech Eretz? So that's the king. That's why the king's going to leave you alone from a naturalistic explanation, because he doesn't want you. You have no benefit for him. But then what about Ol Derech Eretz? What about having to work? Ki hamisasik b'torah b'tivo yismach b'ma'at v'libakesh mutar. As we've seen already, it gives a psychological explanation that when I learn, it's going to change my perspective and I'm not going to need so much. I'm going to be happy with my little bit that I have. Kamosha shaninu kafi darchas Torah, pas b'mal tochal. I just have a little bit and I'm enough. Ba'alome Torah, kol hon yakar v'na'im hu alav l'kulam k'neged ha'Torah sh'ne'amar, l'kulam k'neged ha'Torah sh'ne'amar, he quotes the pasuk. So what we have here are three ways of understanding it, either a divine intervention, star and onesh realm of understanding it, or a community perspective, a broader cultural perspective, that we're going to honor people who learn Torah, or a naturalistic perspective that the king's not going to want you, or you're going to be happy with as much as you have, and that's why you don't have this old. Just to hammer out this last point, and I think we might stop here, even though there's something else that's interesting, we might save it for a different time. Go to the next source, the Sfas MS. I think this is going to bring everything home in terms of this last psychological perspective, because at the end of the day, who decides what's an ol and what's not an ol? Right? So isn't it just a mindset to whatever I'm doing on a daily basis, to think of it as a burden, or to think of it as something that I enjoy or that I want to do or that I'm happy doing? So look at this Sfas Emes. It's very powerful. So ma'virin mimenu ol malchus, ma'virin mashma, afilu biyosenu avadim begolus. Even though we're slaves in exile, af al pikein, ein locha adam she'ein lo sha'a, shemis ore lo ktsas ge'ula benefesh. Everybody has the capability and the opportunity to have a redemption. What does he mean by a redemption? You know, Mashiach's not here, so it doesn't mean a communal redemption. He means a ge'ula benefesh, means a spiritual redemption, a transcendent experience, if you will. Right? There's a ge'ula benefesh. Sheyuchal lekabel alav ol malchus shamayim. I can have a redemptive state by accepting upon myself the burden of God. Now notice how here he says ol malchus shamayim instead of ol Torah. He's equating them together. Besides the fact that when you learn and you take upon yourself the burden of Torah, you're trying to further the redemption, you're trying to bring about the redemption. But besides for that, it's taken away from you this burden of malchus, kemo kain ba'ol derech eretz, as well as the ol derech eretz, hagam mishitzarech la'avara parnasaso. He says, even somebody who needs to work, There's a very balanced approach here. It's not an either or, either you're working or you're learning. No, I'm working. Even somebody who's working, and they have to work for their parnasa. Mikol makom nasam lanu Hashem Yisbarach mitzvas ha Shabbos. Shehu yom minucha. So we have Shabbos. Shabbos is a day of rest. Kedisa Shabbos yaseh kulo Torah. Spend your time on Shabbos learning. V'chol socher tzarach lios mekabel o Torah b'yom haShabbos. Even if you're working on Shabbos, it's a time to accept upon ourselves the yoke of Torah. U'bikoach zeh ma'avirin mimenu ol derech eretz b'mei ha'maisa v'lo amru ma'avirin mimenu malchus v'derech eretz rak ol derech eretz. So he says, if you learn on Shabbos, and yes, I am empathize with you, you have to work, and you need to work, and you need to support a family. But if you spend your time on Shabbos with this ge'ulas ha-nefesh, this spiritual enlightenment, then during the week, yeah, you're going to work, but what are we going to take away from you? The ol, the burden. B'mei ha-maisa v'lo amru ma'avir mimenu malchus derech eretz, rak ol derech eretz, amru. She'tzarach adam shelo yis'arvev al yedei ha'esek v'lo yis'kasher b'chol ha'asakim asher lo la'ashem hema. Because you have to do it for the sake of God. You shouldn't mix in anything else. V'chein ba'ol malchus, mandachapis, etc. He quotes something else here. And then he says, and he continues, we don't have the full second page here. But his point here is, I think, very powerful. He's saying that you got to work. You need money, you got to work. There's no magical guarantee here that God's going to just throw money at you if you choose to learn Torah. Why? Because we've seen it. It doesn't happen. Right? It doesn't automatically happen. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. It doesn't automatically happen. So you have to work. So what do you need to do? You need to look for those transcendent spiritual experiences, which we are afforded to, especially on Shabbos. And if we take advantage of those on Shabbos, then during the week, the burden of the Derech Eretz is lifted off upon us. The fact that our mindset now is that it's not a burden. It's not a burden. I can be a spiritual entity and deal with my physical problems and physical responsibilities during the week, and those two are not mutually exclusive. I can balance those two out. So if we go about our days, right, for practically, for those of us who are not sitting and learning all day, right, so how does this Mishnah affect us? Right, should we just choose to sit and learn all day? Maybe if it's for you, yes, but for most of us it's not. Maybe because it's not the right time in our lives. Maybe because we don't have the capabilities to sit and learn all day. Maybe because we don't have the opportunity to sit and learn all day because we have families, we have responsibilities, etc. But the message of the Mishnah, according to the Sfas Emes, is much more powerful to us as well. It's because it's not the message isn't just sit and learn all day. The message is look for spiritual experiences through learning to create a transcendent geulas, redemption of the soul, and that can carry us throughout the week, that our burden is no longer there. We don't have to be burdened. It's a mindset, it's a perspective, and that's a way to get out of it. So we're going to stop here. Source number 7, for those who want to look into it on their own, maybe we'll do it at a different point in time, is the Abarbanel. If you remember, we did a whole shiur on the Abarbanel, analyzing the second chapter, where he goes through thematically how the second chapter is all dealing with. Anybody remember? What was the debate about the second chapter of Perkei Avos, according to the Abarbanel? It was whether or not, it's actually similar to this discussion, whether or not you focus exclusively on Torah, or you need to combine Torah and Derech Eretz together. Right? So it's relevant to this Mishnah. But that was how he said the debate in the second chapter is each person is giving a different opinion on that. And then he told us that the third chapter is going to be about how to stay away, excuse me, from sin. So how to stay away from sin. So what he does here in source number 7 is until this point in the Mishnah, he tells us and he understands the first bunch of Mishnayos up until this point. It says all debate on the best way to stay away from sin. So we'll save it for a different time. Maybe we'll go through like we did last time. We'll go through all the Mishnayos as a review through the Abarbanel's eyes as how he's going to understand why this Mishnah is talking about avoiding sin. But we'll do that a different time. Okay, so we're going to stop here. We will continue next week.